You're listening to a 1FM podcast.
And it's now time for me to chat to our local historian, John Gribben. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Peter. How are you?
I'm great, thank you, mate. And yourself?
Well, I'm pretty good. I'm actually not too bad at all today. Actually, it's nice.
That is excellent. Is there any reason for your great condition today?
Well, today, I've been in great condition, partly because of the weather, but partly because I've got a great story to tell you today.
Fantastic.
Today's a story about an incident that occurred at Murchison during the Second World War at a place known as Camp 13.
Okay.
Now, I'm going to give you a bit of a background to this. Over the last few weeks, when we've spoken on the radio, done the segment, we've talked about the Sydney and the Cormoran, the battle between two ships, the German raider ship, the Cormoran, and the Australian cruiser, the Sydney, during the Second World War in 1940 off the West Australian coast. They had this battle, and the German raider ship sank the Sydney, which killed 645 Australian soldiers.
Mm-hmm.
And in that same incident, there was 81 Germans also killed. There was no survivors of that, the Sydney, and the wreckage wasn't found, I think, until about 2008.
Yeah, for those who are interested in that, there's a memorial and quite a lot of information in the Western Australian town of Geraldton, which I did see a couple of years ago. Very interesting.
Well, actually, it's interesting you mention that, because today we're going to be talking about the memorial that's here. The memorial at Camp 13, because after the incident, a lot of them, when they were captured, the Germans that were captured that survived, the 300-odd that survived, they ended up being all captured, taken to West Australia, initially to Perth, and then they went round to Melbourne and unloaded, and then they all went off inland Victoria and ended up at this place called Camp 13, which is Victoria's highest security prison camp during the World War II. And when they were there, they built a memorial to their fallen comrades, like the Australian memorial is over off the West Australia, off near Geraldton, which you've just spoken about. The German sailors who were involved in that incursion, they actually built their own memorial for their own fallen comrades. And on the 19th of November every year, they would hold a memorial service for them. Okay, that was the first part of the first setup of this little story. The next part was the Japanese that broke out of Kara. Now, a few weeks back, we spoke about the Japanese that broke out of Kara and 1944. They, 2 o'clock in the morning, 300 of them stormed the gates and the fences. Many of them were killed, but many of them had to be recaptured as well. That killed a number of Australian soldiers in that incident. There was, many died, but many were rounded up too. And I talked about my father seeing the Japanese coming through Shepparton on the backs of trucks, and he said, "Oh, look, I think the Australians might have given them a bit of a flogging." And I said, why was that? Then I didn't understand it much until I actually went to Cowra and heard a tape of a guard that was on that night, and he explained that they rounded up all those Japanese without any gun, and that saved many lives. But then I realised these were fanatical Japanese. They would have been captured with, the Australians would have taken with them pick handles and, tyre levers, and they probably beat them to within an inch of their lives.
Mm. Yeah, well, that makes sense. I mean, we're in a wartime setting.
Yes, that is. And look, it probably did save many lives, but, okay, so when the Japanese broke out and they were recaptured, they came down to this Camp 13 as well. But they moved the Germans out of their compound and moved the Japanese into it. So the Germans were moved to an adjacent compound. The Camp 13 was broken up into four compounds. Like, it was a big circle. You can imagine a big pie and cut into quarters. Well, in one of those quarters, the Germans were at one point, and then they got moved to another point, and the Italians were in two other quadrants.
Right.
So the this is the story. So the Germans were moved from their quadrant where the memorial was, and the Japanese were moved in there. And when this happened, there was a guy by the name of John Behr, B-E-H-R, who was a German sailor who jumped ship in 1933 in Australia, naturalised 1938, and enlisted in the Australian Army in 1942. He was involved in the New Guinea campaign, but he got sent back to Camp 13 to work as an interpreter. And coming up to the 19th of November, the Germans said to John Behr, who was this Australian soldier, said, look, we can see the memorial from our compound. Would you mind, on the 19th of November, placing a wreath on the memorial just so we could remember our fallen comrades? And John Behr went to the commander and said, told the story. And he'd said, look, they want me to do this, so coming up the 19th of November, they can see the memorial. And the commander said, yes, you can do that, but you have to go in alone and unarmed. Now, I should point out that when the Japanese first went in there, they doubled up all the guards. One of the Japanese had taken to an army garrison with a baseball bat, and from that time on, they used to go in twos. So if you went into the compound, one went with a gun and the other one went with a pick handle. So they were very, very belligerent, the Japanese. They were quite frightened. And because of them, they built two concrete fortified machine gun posts out there, which one still exists. But anyhow, so here we go. The quick story. So John Behr now, he says, oh, I don't know what I think. He goes, well, these guys are crazy. If I go in unarmed, I could get that. He goes, well, we don't know what happened in Cowra. If you get overrun, they'll use a gun against you, and we don't want that. So if you go in, you have to go in alone and unarmed. Anyhow, this John Behr thinks about it for a while, and then eventually he says, yes, I'll do it. So on the day, he comes in, goes through the gates with the wreath, and he says, I've got my head down. I'm trying not to rush or draw attention to myself. I keep my head down, and I can hear Japanese footsteps around me. I eventually make my way to the memorial and going around all the huts into the open area. I walk up to the memorial. I walk forward and I could see the memorial. I've laid the wreath down at the foot of the memorial, stood up, taken a few steps back, stood to attention and saluted towards the memorial. And then he said, I turned my head down and then I started walking back towards the gates. And as I'm doing this, I can hear footsteps around me. And I'm thinking, oh, look, don't draw attention to me. Don't draw attention. And he keeps walking back. But before he gets back to the gates, he turns around and looks at the quadrant beside him and sees 1,000 Germans all lined up along the compound fence, all facing the memorial, standing to attention and saluting. But then he said, I turned around a little bit further and looked back towards the memorial. And there, around the memorial, stood all the Japanese soldiers, also looking towards the memorial, standing to attention and saluting. So there you have it. You've got an Australian soldier risking his life during the Second World War to put a wreath on a German naval memorial in the middle of Australia, which is surrounded by hardened Japanese soldiers. Sometimes, Peter, that fact is a little bit stranger than fiction. And that happened here at Murchison during World War II.
You're certainly not wrong about that, John. And I'll tell you what, he was a much braver man than I would have been, I've got to tell you too.
And much braver than me. But it's a great story. It's an interesting story how, while we talk about the people's inhumanity to others, it just goes to show that that everyone has a conscience and is respectful of others in certain circumstances. And I think that's great. Yeah, it's a great story.
It is. And, as you put it, it is exactly a great story. And I think it highlights the fact that a lot of the common people, if I can use that very old term, are really not that fussed about war. It's much more a higher level thing, isn't it?
That's exactly right. And so we're all at war with one another, and we're all, there's different bad things that happen to everyone.
Yeah.
But when it all came down to it, I thought it was great that they showed, everyone showed respect towards these fallen comrades.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you know what? As we live in uncertain times now with what's going on in Europe, I'd like to see people thinking a little more about that.
Oh, I think exactly the same. I think, we need to be aware that we all need to have respect for others.
Exactly. John, thank you very much. Great to chat with you again. And I'm sure we'll be talking with Terry in the not-too-distant future.
Good on you. Thanks, Peter.
Great. John Gribben there, local historian. What a great story, and I think it has a few resonances today, as we mentioned. So, yeah.
You've been listening to a 1FM podcast.